إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we continue with our series on family and the importance of family. And in that context, I mentioned to you the background of all of that, and we come to now the first of the tools. What are the tools that we need to teach our children and ourselves before we teach our children? Because I think this is one of the ways in which we fool ourselves. All the parents in the world want to give tarbiyah to the children. But who will give tarbiyah to the parents? Because the parents seem to be more in the need of tarbiyah than the children in many cases. So we have to think of ourselves and say, what tarbiyah do I need to give myself? I was reading, there is a one of the largest portfolio managers in the world is a company called Blackstone. And Blackstone publishes an annual report of various things, among which is the global political condition. And the Blackstone report says that World War III has already started. And then, of course, lots of assessments and so on and so forth. But one of the interesting things is that he, in that report, they quote one of the most famous financial and global advisors, a man who's now about 80 years old, and they call him the smartest man in the world. And if you see the assessment that he has written and everything else, one thing which strikes you very clearly is that everything that he has written relates to the market, it relates to stocks, it relates to commodities, it relates to making money. So therefore, our definition of what is smart also needs to be examined. Our definition of what is smart is not somebody who is concerned about, for example, the environment, is not somebody who is concerned about destroying this planet. It's not somebody who is concerned about character. It's not somebody who is concerned about social problems, about poverty, about education. It's only someone who is smart is someone who knows how to make money. And I think that quite clearly for me underlines what I have been saying for the last two or three days, that today the global religion is materialism. And therefore, money is God. Money is God. Malls, shopping malls are the temples. The ad men and ad women are the proselytizers. They are the dawa people. And the salespeople are the priests. This is the world. This is the actual religion of the world. So how do we combat this? How do we live in this world and keep our souls alive? Because this is the biggest challenge is that it's not hunger of the body. And if you look around us today, one of the biggest problems in this world today is obesity. We are digging our graves with our teeth. Quite literally, we are digging our graves with our teeth. We eat and eat and eat until we eat ourselves into the grave. One of the major problems of the world is obesity, and it starts with children, little babies, small children, 1 year old, 2 year old, fat, round, they have to be rolled, they can't walk. And all because of overeating, all because of overindulgent parents eating the wrong kind of food and destroying the body. So this is our, so it's not an issue of hunger of the body, it's the hunger of the soul, hunger of the spirit. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the soul hidden from our eyes. But if we could see our souls, the soul is affected by our deeds, by what we eat, what we talk, what we believe, and so on. If we could see our souls, I don't know what state we would find those souls in. Our souls probably look like leprosy patients in their final stages, bits and pieces falling off, and you know, holes where there should be eyes and no nose and things like this, because that's the condition of the soul. They're totally destroyed the the soul from internally, because the food of the soul is zikrullah. The food of the soul is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And take in Ramadan itself, how many of us are there who the only way or the only reason we finish one dawr, one recitation of the whole Quran is because you are listening to Tarawih. Now if the Tarawih was not there, or if you did not listen to the whole Tarawih, then probably there are many people, maybe even the majority, who do not even complete the Quran one time in the whole month of Ramadan. So that is the extent of our food for the soul, right? How many of us, in addition to Tarawih, how many of us finish reading the Quran at least once? This is absolutely basic minimum. And those who might feel very proud that they are reading the Quran more than once in Ramadan, maybe two times, maybe three times, maybe four times, then they should think and they should read. That's why history is important. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to finish the Quran 60 times, 60 times in the month of Ramadan alone, in addition to whatever he did in the rest of the year. In the month of Ramadan, Imam Shafi used to finish two Qurans every day. So, even if you are reading the Quran 10 times, you are still nowhere close to what the Salaf did. That is why they had souls like that. That is why their spirits were like that. One man was enough for a whole country. One man was enough for centuries. Why do we think we take the name of the Aima and all these great scholars and the Sahaba and so on? Yeah, not because of how much money they had, not because of how wisely they invested in this stock or that stock, but because of the power of their soul, and that came from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The food of the soul is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And so the first tool to teach the children is to feed the soul. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq ma Allah. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There are two of my lectures in this last 10 days. One is called See with the Heart, and the other one is called Unlock Your Heart to Reflect on the Quran. And we'll talk more about these things. But I'm saying that the key is to teach the children. The tool that you can give yourself and to your children is to have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq ma Allah. To be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The minimum of the ta'alluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you raise your hand for dua and Allah accepts the dua before your hands come down. This is the minimum. How do I know I have ta'alluq with Allah? If Allah accepts my dua. Test it and see. Ask a dua. Ya Allah, give me this. You must get it. If you are not getting it, it means there is something wrong with your connection. It's not because Allah does not have it. Sorry, out of stock. No. So this is the condition of ta'alluq ma Allah. And ta'alluq comes with shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam with the kalimat of shukr. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِسْتَعَذَنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, announce this to the world. Tell the people from your Rabb that the one who thanks me, I will increase my blessing on that person. And the one who does not thank me, who is ungrateful to me, then let him be aware and let him beware that my punishment is very severe. Seriously ask, monitor your own conversation. What are the words that come on your and my tongue? We have become a nation of thankless people. Constantly there is only kufr on our tongues. Something, take the weather for example. How is it? It's too hot. Or it's too cold. Or it's too this. It's too that. It's never right. The word Alhamdulillah does not come. Always. For everything. What is the situation of power? You and I know we have lived in the city where we used to have power cuts for longer than the time we used to have power. Yes or no? We lived Alhamdulillah through that. Perfectly fine. Today, once in a blue moon, the power will go. Someday. And you ask someone, how is it? Kya karna saab? Jab dekho, wa light nahi rehti. And we all lived through times. Today, in terms of material wealth, I can say almost invariably, money supply is far superior than it was when we were growing up as children. Much better. much better. In terms of money, my driver earns 10 times the salary that my father earned. Quite literally. And my father was a medical doctor. This is what today we have, Allah has given us in material far more. How many of us when we were growing up did we ever see an air conditioner? Of course, there wasn't even air conditioning, so you could not have seen an air conditioned masjid, but certainly there were carpets. How many of us saw a masjid with carpets? We sat on cold stone floors. And in our days, when the, if a Khatib gave a lecture, a bayan, and if the bayan was less than 3 hours, people said, kya baat hi nahi kare? Seriously. 3 ghante baat nahi kare, to baat nahi rehti thi wo. Literally, for 3 hours, unless the bayan was for 3 hours, people didn't consider it to be a bayan. For 3 hours, we sat on cold stone floors and listened to bayans. Today, Allah has given us masajid with air conditioning and carpet, and this is nothing new. It's not that this masjid. You go in alhamdulillah, in this city, you go to, you know, almost any of the big masajid, you have got, even if it's not the whole masjid, there is a big section which is glassed in, and it's got air conditioning, it's got carpets, it's got everything. But how many of us go there? So the thing, number one tool, is shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And because of shukr, you get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With shukr. Why? Because shukr increases the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So look around you and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Look in the mirror and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me with a good face. I don't have a hair lip. I don't have a face that looks like it walked into a wall. I'm not blind in one eye. And if you think this is an exaggeration, go walk around and see. There are people with all of this and more. And if we had that, what would you have done? What would I have done? Allah did not make us like that. Alhamdulillah, Allah made us, we look good. Allah gave us material wealth. How many of us have to actually think about what am I going to do for iftar today? Because there is no food in the house. The Sahaba lived like this, believe me. The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, lived like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were times in his house where there was literally no food. We're not talking about exaggeration. There was nothing to eat. Allah has not, that even the thought does not come in our minds. Alhamdulillah. But how many of us thank Allah for this? Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, you made me such that whatever it is, this thought does not come into our mind. I know people today who are innocent, who have done nothing, and they are in prison for no fault of theirs. Because of enmity, somebody was, you know, the powerful people who were enemies, and thanks to that enmity, these people are in prison. Whatever is done or not done, alhamdulillah, we are sitting free. We are sitting free. How many people are there who have to pass through tragedies in their lives? Alhamdulillah, Allah did not give us that tragedy. How, this is the thing. The thing to do is to sit down and count. And then you will realize the actual truth of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran twice, maybe more, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that if you wanted to record them, you could not record them. And Allah said that the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that if the seas became ink, and if you made pens out of all the trees, then you would exhaust all the seas, and you would, even if you had a second version of double that amount of ink, you still could not write the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. I mean, I can go on endlessly with regard to the number of things that we have to be grateful for. I don't think that is necessary here. In any case, the Fajr reminder is supposed to be short. But let me invite you, do this as an actual exercise. The whole point of this further reminder is for us to implement this in our lives. Do it as an actual exercise. And say, what do I have to be grateful for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sit down with your whole family. Sit with the whole family, children, everyone. Give them all pieces of paper and say, write down, what do I need to be grateful for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And consciously make this into a conscious habit. Make a promise to yourself. Qasam khao. To say that I will never say anything which sounds ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. Do not let words of ungratitude come out of your mouth for anything. Start with Alhamdulillah. How are you? Alhamdulillah. See, a friend of mine has got a pain. Constantly the pain doesn't go away. You ask him, how are you? Alhamdulillah. What about the pain? He said, Alhamdulillah. Because of the pain, I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more. I'm doing more zikr of Allah. Because every time I get up, I say, Allah. Because of the pain. He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me this pain. Thanks to that pain, I make more zikr of Allah than I would have otherwise made. I mean, how many times did we get up in our childhood, and there are enough and more young people here, and I remember my own childhood, where getting up, and I mean, in Aikido, I used to do an exercise, part of the Aikido thing, where you had to lie flat on your back, and then you had to stand up without touching anything. So you raised your legs, and you flipped yourself like that. I used to do that over and over and over and over and over. Today, if you give me $1,000,000, I can't do it. Seriously. Alhamdulillah, I love my old age. I think I should have got old much earlier. Lots of perks to that. But the point I'm making is that when we could do that, when you could literally jump from that height, and we did that also many times, how many times did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah, I am able to jump from that height and my knees are okay and everything is okay, and I ask him, Taqi is here. That Chiran place, he and I used to race, running on the outside, and there's a long flight of stairs on the outside wall. He and I used to race. I am, I think, 20 years older than him. We used to race and I used to beat him until my knees gave way. Now, but now I can't do that. I'm just saying that when that was happening, and you run up that whole flight of stairs, and the heart is not pumping more, or the heart is not collapsing, and the knees are... How many times did you thank Allah? Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me knees that work. Allah gave me knuckles that work. Ask someone who has arthritis, what is the value of being able to do that with your hand? That is the key, number one tool. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, thanks to which we get connected to Allah. So the first tool is ta'alluq ma'a Allah, and the way to reach that tool is through shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always be grateful to Him, to create this thing is within us, and to reward us for this gratefulness from His bounty and His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.